Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Culture Perth and Kinross podcast. In this episode, I'll be talking to Dr. Nikki Small on various aspects of our current research in the museum and archive collections. We previously covered Miss Ballantyne and her record-breaking salmon in a previous episode, and we've also followed along the life and times of Thomas Graham of Balgowan, Lord Langdock. So today, Nikki, can you tell me who you're going to chat about?
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about a character who was very well known in the Burnham and Dunkeld area, a man called Charles McIntosh of Inver. Now, I've done various pieces of research on music and the family and friends of Neil Gow, the famous fiddler from Inver. And I've also been looking at Perthshire connections of Beatrix Potter. And Charles McIntosh was a person who kept cropping up.
So that's Beatrix Potter off of Peter Rabbit fame. She came up to Perthshire.
Yes. Beatrix was born into a fairly wealthy family in London in about 1866. And her family regularly took a house in Dalgais from May until October. They came for the summer when she was a child. And the natural world was a huge influence on her life. And this love of nature was something she shared with Charles McIntosh of Inver, this man who lived locally when she came up for the summer. So Perthshire is where Beatrix Potter would draw her picture letters and include all the characters we associate with the Peter Rabbit stories. And Charles McIntosh is reckoned to be the inspiration for the fearsome Mr. McGregor, apparently.
And Charles McIntosh, correct me if I'm wrong here, he was a local scientist then, or did he just study nature?
Actually, he was a postman. Charles McIntosh was born in Inver around 1839, he was set to work in a sawmill as a young man. That was going to be his trade, but he suffered a terrible accident and lost the fingers of his left hand. So he actually became the local postman. And he worked in the area for over 32 years. He never left Perthshire. He worked locally for 32 years delivering and collecting the mail. And this was just hard work. Saw him walking miles every day in all weather. So it's pretty tough stuff. But he was obviously a lifeline too for people who lived remotely in the Dunkeld area. You're talking about the days when, post was all the people that you saw. So his biographies say by the time he retired, he might have walked around 200,000 miles. It was all on foot. But as a man, Charles McIntosh was interested in the natural world. And this was obviously fired by his being outdoors just so much. That was his life.
So with him then, did he study in a more formal way?
No, well that's the thing. He was always described as a keen amateur naturalist, but he was a very active associate member of the Perthshire Society of Natural Science. That's the PSNS. It still cracks on today with their lovely lecture series, Curious Minds, the PSNS. So that's a society that survived all that time. So he was an associate member, and he had a particular interest in fungi, apparently. And he actually identified 13 species of fungi previously unknown in the British Isles. And four of them were actually new to science completely. So that's really interesting. But it was this interest in the natural world that brought him and Beatrix Potter together. She too was keen on this kind of research and was an amateur mycologist. And she then corresponded with Charles McIntosh. And she shared some of her lovely drawings with him, beautiful drawings, not of Peter Rabbit or Mrs. Tiggywinkle, but drawings of plants and fungus, in particular little toadstools and mushroom, all that kind of thing. And these eventually have found their way, because they belong to Charles McIntosh, these have found their way into the museum collection. So we've got gorgeous plates and colour sketches of these from Beatrix Potter's early days.
So at the time, was that an unusual kind of interest for a young girl to have, to be so keen on plants and fungus? Like, what would her childhood have been like?
Well, it seems, she's the daughter of this quite wealthy family, and she was described often as quite a lonely child, but she and her brother seemed to be able to run free when they were up here, when they holidayed up here. I was reading about Beatrix, and in one book she's described in it as being quite wild. And she and her brother found bones and old dead things and bugs and beasties and so on. And they brought things home to boil them up, to clean the bones and all the flesh off them so they could see the bones. And they cut things up too. So I kind of like that idea. It's really far away from the really prim image we have of her in all her stories and things. Wild hair, running about in the woods and the hills all day in Scotland. You know, it just sounds like a great childhood. But she did write a formal article about fungi, and it was presented at the Linnaean Society in London. That's quite prestigious, and that's where Darwin, all these big theories all came from, the Linnaean Society. But it didn't do very well overall, and so she was kind of discouraged actually from studying. She was a woman too, so getting into science maybe wasn't quite the thing too. It was very difficult, but so she was really quite discouraged, and she turned her attention to other things, and eventually came to write the Peter Rabbit stories. It's a bit of a shame because she did have her theory was on spore dispersal, and this was perfectly accurate. And had she had some encouragement, she might have taken quite a different route in life. And for me, it's interesting that she and Charles shared these ideas and specimen drawings and so on. And he was a great man for encouraging people to enjoy the natural world. He was interested in trees, geography, botany, botanizing, all this kind of thing. And he shared this with others. And one of his biographies has some wonderful images of him with other people on tours and visits to sites of natural interest. He encouraged children to come out on these visits to explore the world. And he studied everything, the weather, the stars, the plants and the animals, and lots of other talents too. He's a real all-rounder.
So what other talents were they? Because, I mean, it seems like he had a pretty busy time. You know, he was posting by day, studying by night. What else was he up to then?
Well, music was the other thing. His family were all musical. His father was a very good musician. And he and his brother James were taught violin and violoncello. And Inver itself was a wonderfully musical place, because this is obviously the home of the great fiddler Neil Gow. And Neil Gow and his family lived there. And there were other very good musicians in Perthshire. Friends of Charles McIntosh included a family called Murray. They were dyers in Inver. And another man, I believe, called Duncan MacKerricher. He came from Aberfeldy. He was so proficient, he was known as the Athol Paganini. So he was very good. And of course, Inver and the Burnham area still celebrate the Gow family, Neil Gow in particular. There's a regular festival there every year. And Pete Clark, a fiddler, he's a tremendous fiddler. You can follow him on Facebook and in other places. He's lectured on the life of Neil Gow, and he plays one of Neil Gow's surviving fiddles. So it's all fantastic stuff. And they're actually going to be unveiling a statue of Neil Gow in Burnham, near Inver. So there, you know, in today it's still a hotbed of great music. The Amber Festival runs up there, Pete Clark's Neil Gow Fiddle Festival all runs in the area. So there's loads still going on. But that they're only really they're harking back to the day when people like Charlie McIntosh were there with the Murray family and the Gows and the McKerricker. So it's brilliant that music still survives.
Yeah, so I mean, it seems like there's a lot of traditional music, big scene kind of going on up there. I mean, in those days, did they play as a band or was it more formal? And then you also said that Charles McIntosh had a terrible accident. How did he play then?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can imagine a few great nights of music in the area with this lot. But amazingly, yes, Charles continued to play. He'd begun on violin, but he took to playing the cello. And he managed to use his injured hand. He's quite shy, but lots of photographs of him, and you would never realise that he had been so badly injured. But it's quite an accomplishment, really, to become so. And he played with his brothers and all sorts of people. And they played in big houses and traipsed all up the glens to play here and all over here to play at different things. So he was quite accomplished. He was also the precentor at the local church. His father had been in this role before him, and Charles took it on. So this meant he was in charge of the music in the church. He would be the person that would lead the small choir and led the praise and services. And he was absolutely dedicated to this work. And I believe he had wee singing schools in different pockets and villages. And when he went along and he took these locally and took groups together to promote singing. So and in addition, he did a lot of composing. So he wrote some stuff as well. So quite an amazing character, really.
Yeah, it's amazing to like see so much talent in what like is a quite small village. Is there much to see in Inver today?
Well, Inver is a wee tiny place to us today, and it's very picturesque. We've got some lovely postcards in the A.K. Bell collections of Inver, and Neil Gow's house is still there. But Dunkeld was quite an important place at one time, and Dunkeld just being over the river sort of thing, a cathedral there. You've got to think about places with a cathedral. They're obviously been an important religious centre. And obviously this would be a point where people travelling would, you know, would be heading to up Fortingall Way, again, another highly religious point and a route. So people would be travelling, they would meet and stop because the ferries were used on the river there to cross before there was a bridge. And there's an inn at Inver and Burnham also. And Burnham was described as the gateway to the Highlands. So it would have been a much busier wee send. We just kind of drive through on the A9 now, but it would have been a busier place. You can still find Neil Gow's house, and there's lovely walks in and around Burnham. You can find Neil Gow's Oak as well, and you can also visit Dalgais and find out about the life of Beatrix Potter, because there's a Beatrix Potter garden at the Burnham Institute, and they tell her story and how it overlaps with Charles Mackintosh. So you see all of that there. It's all there today.
So can you tell me how this garden of Beatrix Potter, how that works then?
Well, there's an indoor visitor experience in the Burnham Institute, but it leads to a garden space and outside, and there are little models, statues, little models and things, and of all the famous characters from her books. And there are wee homes and little ponds and little places where people might live. and it actually features in one of our CPK short history films, actually. We visited it when we filmed the Highland Perthshire film. And what was lovely to me was once you find out about Beatrix's early life in Burnham, because if you don't know that about her, that she, if you just think she wrote the stories for fun, but if you don't know about that early life in Burnham, it's her love of nature and her study of the plants and animals. And it makes so much sense to bring her to life through the garden, literally through the natural world that she so loved. And it's such a lovely place to visit.
So just kind of going back to Mackintosh there, what kind of legacy does a man like that leave? I mean, he can't be terribly well known, or is he just overlooked a little?
Well, again, I think it's more probably those who have knowledge of the natural world will know more about him, because he was certainly well regarded in his days. He's had biographies written about him and dedicated, and through his job and his study of nature, his music and his life in the local community, someone like Mackintosh actually is, you know, they've a lot more reach than you might imagine. And I have to say, it was researching other things where his name kept cropping up. That's what happened with me. I just kept coming across him. I was looking at life in Athol, for instance, and the Murray of Athol family. I was looking at the history of Dunkeld. And he just kept appearing. And of course, I was looking at him because we in A.K. Bell Library, in the local and family history department, there's a wee Beatrix Potter collection. And that relates to letters between Beatrix and Charles. And there's a very charming book about their story of their friendship and how they came to correspond. But he's also connected to our music collection, the Athol collection, which is also kept at the A.K. Bell Library.
So how does he feature in that collection then?
Well, as well as composing music, he actually collected quite a lot of pieces of music too. Now, the Athol collection is a huge music collection, not to be mistaken with the Athol collection, which is just two volumes. People often make that mistake. There's a two-volume series on the Athol collection, but this is actually over 600 pieces of music, books, and all sorts of notebooks and songbooks and things that was collected by a daughter of the 7th Duke of Athol. Her name was Dorothea. She collected this over her lifetime, and when she died, the entire collection, she gifted it back to Perth, and it came back to Perth and into the library, which, as I say, we still have it today. So one wee book within this collection was given to Dorothea by Charles Mackintosh of Inver, and it's quite a famous little book. It's dated 1733, so it's quite an early one, and it was a book of pipe music by a man called William Dixon, and it's a lovely wee book. It's a tiny little thing, and it's lots of doodling and things on it as well. And Dorothy went to a lot of trouble to find music and make her collection and create it, and when she met Charles Mackintosh, he knew about this, and he offered her this book, and she thought it was quite special, and she wanted to pay for it. And he was a wee bit offended, so he kind of lashed it on the fire, apparently. He was a bit annoyed. I know, it was a bit strange. But she rescued it, knowing that it was quite an important piping music book. And the story is, to this day, you can still smell a little smoke on it. I quite like that.
That's an amazing wee story. So what happened to this little book? Like, why is it so special?
Well, it's a book which is really exciting for pipers. And explains a great deal. I mean, it's this little book has had books written about it, articles written about it, we have it explains a great deal about piping music, and we have had a lot of scholars and pipers come into the library to see the book and to study the tunes. We even had one group of pipers who played in the library because they saw it. They were so excited to be playing the tunes directly from the book. The small pipes, you know, the ones where you pump the bag under your arm sort of thing. So it was great. And that book continues to excite pipers and music and all the rest of it. So it's wonderful. And all because Charles McIntosh of Inver gave it to Dorothea, who eventually left it to the library for other people to enjoy. So it's just one of those wee gems in our collections, and it just connects all those people, Dorothea, Beatrix Potter, all the people in Athol, Neil Gow, and it all comes back to Charlie McIntosh, and I think that's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it's a really nice story to have as well. So Nicola, thank you again for your time. For those of you who are listening, this is the Culture of Perth and Kinross podcast. It's released weekly. If you've enjoyed this podcast, can you leave us a review on iTunes? Let us know what you think. And if you're able to support the Culture of Perth and Kinross in any way possible, you can donate £7, the price of a brand new book, to our Book Hero campaign. And all the details for that are in the instructions. Until the next time, see you later.